Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, January 17th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Genesis chapter 16, Psalm 39, and Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 24, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. In Genesis today, we'll be talking about Hagar and Ishmael. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Berlai Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son. And Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Okay, let's move on to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 39. According to my Life Application Study Bible, the theme in Psalm 39 is, "Apart from God, life is fleeting and empty." This is an appeal for God's mercy because life is so brief. For the director of music, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, "I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence." But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. You rebuke and discipline men for their sin. You consume their wealth like a moth. Each man is but a breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were. Look away from me, that I may rejoice again before I depart and am no more. Let us move now to the book of Mark. Today we are in Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 24, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. And today we have two stories, the faith of the Syrophoenician woman and the healing of a deaf and mute man. I think I've told you this before, but I love these healing stories, so I'm super excited about today's passages. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. I want to make comment on both of these stories. The story of the Syrophoenician woman used to upset me. I used to think, how could Jesus call her a dog? But now, I love this story. We have to have in context that this is a Greek woman. Jesus is in Greek territory. He's trying to take a rest from all of his ministry to the Jewish population. And this woman gets word that he can heal her daughter. And she comes and she begs him. And he makes a point in the midst of his disciples by saying, first, let the children eat all they want. This is a message that comes first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. But then she is so cunning and she replies, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. So I like to think of this more as a pet in the family. Now, I don't know, there are many interpretations there. But the point being that she retorts to Jesus, yes, but you're here and I'm here and my daughter's sick. Could you please help me? And even before she goes home, her daughter is healed. It's an amazing story. and then the healing of the deaf and mute man. This is a very different healing story. I can only imagine Jesus putting his hands in the man's ear and then spitting. It doesn't sound very friendly to our world right now. He spits and he puts it on the man's tongue, and he can speak and he can hear. It is amazing. I was reading online at a really important theological website, gotquestions.org, and they were talking about how Jesus would often heal people in different ways. Sometimes he merely spoke, and other times he laid his hands on the people. One time he spit on the ground and made mud to place on a blind man's eyes. That's in John chapter 9. And here we see him putting his fingers in the mute man's ears and spitting and putting it on the tongue. The details of each miracle vary, and so the variety of methods helps to eliminate some sort of connotation that there's a spell going on here, or that this is a certain process that Jesus had to go through to heal. Instead, we see that the healing comes from the power of the Lord. As we contemplate the power of the Lord, let us pray alongside our mission partners at Living Hope South Africa, Austin and Kelsey Keim. We know Austin and Kelsey to be friends from the Birmingham area who have gone to serve in South Africa. Their main service is with a boys program, and we want to pray for the new group of boys in January and their children's intervention program, that these boys would be transformed by the love of Christ, and that they would participate with open hearts, and that their families would do so as well. Will you pray with me? Father, we come knowing that you hear our prayers. We're so grateful, Lord, for the stories which remind us of your power and the fact that you see us, you hear us, you know our needs. We pray, Lord, that you would help Austin and Kelsey Keim even now, that they would sense your presence with them. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our words and for working according to your will somehow through this prayer. We pray, Lord, for the Keims as the new group of boys start their intervention program. Lord, please transform them by the love of Christ. Please give the Keims opportunities to share your love with their families. And Lord, we pray that you would be at work in Living Hope South Africa, and that you would give them just favor in the new year as they have leadership transitions and as they have so many difficulties in South Africa related to COVID and lack of employment opportunities. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to live in light of the gospel. We love you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.